Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Third and 10. Four-man rush. It's Goff throwing over the middle, and it's picked off Jeremy Chinn. And Washington will be going to the NFC Championship for the first time in 33 years.
Did you predict that Jeremy Chinn would have a late game pick?
I did. I should have bet my mortgage on it.
What did you say?
I think my direct quote was that Jeremy Chinn is going to make a big play late in the game, a turnover of some kind, either a fumble or a pick.
All right. Well, that's good. I almost had the halftime score with my imaginary game that I did last week. I said 28-24 at halftime. Of course, I said that Detroit, I think, would have the lead 28-24. But at one point when it was 24-21, I texted you and I said, if this ends up 28-24 at halftime and I didn't bet, you know, first half over, I'm the biggest moron of all time, because I did not bet that. I didn't wager anything on the game Saturday night. Didn't have anything on the game Saturday night. Real quickly, my buddy Jake just said, what were the other NFC championship games? Well, 72 was the first ever NFC East matchup in the NFC title game. It was Washington and Dallas. In 1980, Philly beat Dallas. In 82, Washington beat Dallas. In 86, the Giants beat Washington. So now we've got Washington at Philly. So the only NFC East team to play all three of the other NFC East teams in a championship game is now Washington. Dallas played Philly and Washington twice. The Giants only had an NFC East matchup with Washington, and Philly only had an NFC East matchup with Dallas before now Washington. The point spread, if you haven't seen it yet, Washington is a 5.5-point favorite. The total is 48. You can find some fives out there. I saw a 4.5 at one point yesterday, but I see mostly fives and five and a halves. The key all week long will be Jalen Hurts. Because no matter what you think of Jalen Hurts, and they have struggled to throw the football, when he's in the game, they are 11-on-11 in the run game. And that is what's crucial for them against us. And if he's not able to be a legitimate run threat in Sunday's NFC title game, massive advantage, Washington. All right, let's get to my game take, what I liked, what I didn't like, lots of other things to mention. All right, so, you know, first of all, this was a game, like we talked about all last week, that was pretty easy to sort of pregame. Two really good offenses, not really good, two high level, two of the best four or five offenses in the NFL, going head-to-head with two defenses that clearly have struggled this year. Detroit's more so in the back half of the season because of their injuries. And this was going to be a game just like the Tampa game. Can you play a little bit better on offense than Detroit does, but can you play the clean game and have them make a few mistakes? Tampa had the crucial turnover in their own inside their own 15-yard line, had that crucial penalty on third and inches, and they lost by three in a game in which Washington scored on five of their seven drives and Tampa scored on four of their seven. In this game, Washington was dominant offensively. They were better offensively, although not, you know, yards per play in the first half was actually scary, what Detroit had put together in that first half. But the obvious here was Jaden Daniels is the best player on the field. He's also a quarterback. And Detroit turned the ball over five times. Ball game. Now, what's kind of interesting is when you consider, because I thought plus one in the red zone, plus one in the turnover margin, they win. They would not have won the game more likely than not with just plus one and plus one. Not that they needed all five. They didn't need all five turnovers. And they didn't need, you know, they were plus one in the red zone. Detroit was 3-for-6, Washington 4-for-4. But there's no doubt that had they turned the ball over, say, just two times, it would have been more likely than not a different story. But that's the playoffs, man. That's NFL football. The team that doesn't make mistakes usually wins against a team that does make the mistakes. And look, in Washington's case, those mistakes, three of them at least, were forced. All right, number one on the list of things that I liked. Look, the offense just in general. There have been a few moments this year. I mean, very few. The Philadelphia game on that Thursday night game. You know, I don't even count the Tampa game, honestly. The Dallas first half in November. The Dallas first half in January. Other than that, this team's offense has been at times unstoppable. Worst case for the opposing team is that they're just very effective in moving the football. This is going to go down as the most difficult to defend offensive football team in franchise history. The 83 team was outrageously good on offense. The 91 team, no team threw the deep ball better than they did. But in terms of how versatile and how many ways this offense can slice and dice a defense, I think we're going to look back on this and say, offensively, this team was the most difficult in franchise history to defend, maybe until next year's team or the year after, because what they could add to this could make them scary. But we're in the moment right now. Offensively, in this football game, they were dominant. You know, they scored on six of their nine drives. On the other three, they moved the ball on two of them. They had a fourth down stop when they took the ball out of the quarterback's hands and put it into Marcus Mariota's hands, and they missed a field goal. It was a meaningless field goal. It wasn't meaningless necessarily, but they were up 14 with 2.5 minutes to go. And then they did get stopped on that first drive of the second half. Oh, my God. Tress, I don't know. Were you napping? Were you reading a book? We actually need you to do something other than to hold for extra points. 481 yards of total offense, 27 first downs. They were just 4 of 12 on third down, but they were 3-for-4 on fourth, and really 4-for-5 on fourth down if you count the 12 men on the field penalty. By the way, on the drives, they were 6 out of 9. I don't count kneel downs, nor should you. They knelt the ball down at the end of the first half. They knelt the ball down at the end of the game. They averaged 6.6 yards per play, 9.6 yards per pass. They ran the ball. They were very versatile. They had a running game on Saturday night with their running backs. They rushed for 182 yards, passed for 299. And clearly that passing number could have been a lot higher and would have been a lot higher had Washington not extended the lead and Detroit get, you know, they were up 17. You know, when they went up 17 with, you know, what was it, 8 minutes to go in the game, it was not necessary, and they didn't throw it as much in the second half as they did in the first half. That first half, though, still, you know, 312 yards of 31 points, okay, 312 yards of offense, and Jaden was 14 to 21 for 242 and two touchdowns, eight carries, 29 yards. B-Rob was averaging 7 yards a carry. Diami had nearly 100 yards of pass reception yardage in the first half. Terry had 75 yards of pass reception yardage in the first half. It was a show, man. They are a show. I mean, this isn't like the greatest show on turf necessarily, but what you saw Saturday night was about as good as it gets offensively in the NFL. So offensively, overall, that leads the list. But then you get to just Jaden and his performance. I mean, I won't bury the lead here. It was an A-plus performance. You know, he ultimately was 22 of 31 for 299, 350 total yards because he ran for 51, no turnovers, no sacks. As mentioned, 12 for 16 for 191 yards versus the blitz. That is insane. productivity. Washington, he was 96.6 in his QBR versus unblocked rushers this season, and he had a couple of others on Saturday night. 3 for 3 on fourth downs with him in the game, right? 2 for 2 throwing the football, 1 for 1 running the football. The only fourth down they got stopped, he was in the game, but obviously that was a botched play with Mariota under center. I just thought from the jump, he was incredibly sharp. You know, the quick game was working. They went quick to Ertz. They went quick to Terry to start the game. He had a check down to Eckler for big yardage. The second drive of the game, there was a 3rd and 10 to Crowder on a comeback curl kind of a route. I mean, on time, the ball's out before he's even into that curl. There's a 3rd and 10 to Diami versus the blitz before the field goal, and Diami dropped it. I had somebody say, you're unfair to Diami. A guy got a hand in it. No, that's a catchable ball. Diami had the throw on the 3rd down before the field goal that made it 7-3 Detroit. Zane Gonzalez drilled it from 47 yards. That's right in Diami's hands. You got to squeeze it, pull it, and he allowed it to hang out there and get knocked out. No, that's a drop. 3rd drive, big one for Diami Brown of 42 yards. That's not the best one to Diami. The 4th and 3 to Ertz for 7 yards. The 4th drive, he hits the RPO bubble to Terry, and Terry takes it 58 yards for a touchdown. That's such good recognition. I thought Brady was outstanding on the game. I've heard, you know, we've talked about this. I just didn't watch him early in the season. I would imagine that those of you that thought he was terrible early in the year think he's much improved now. But he talked about it. He said, this is straight RPO. This is if they identify Branch as a blitzer, the ball's getting out to Terry because they have the numbers advantage. If Branch isn't coming, he hands it off. Well, he identified it, threw it to Terry. They had the advantages. Excellent blocking, touchdown. The bomb on their 5th drive in the first half to Diami Brown, could you drop it into somebody's hands on a deep ball any better than that? And what a catch by Diami, who had Kirby Joseph basically covering up his eyes in his face mask with his hands. Still Jaden. He had Branch as a free runner on a 2nd and 8 on the 2nd drive in the second half. And it's just what we've seen him do all year. Like, you can't – I don't know how you rush him without it being multiple players being able to kind of hem him in. When he's gotten sacked, it's been waiting a bit too long to try to make a play, thinking that he can make a play, because that's what he does think, and he usually is successful. But if you've just got one dude that comes as a free runner – he's not going to get sacked by that guy. You know, even if his back is turned, he just feels it too well. He scrambled for 12 yards on that play. The 4th and 2 naked bootleg, when he lined up under center, how many times, we as fans, Denton, sometimes I feel like we're the ones that teams should be thinking about in terms of tendency breaking, because we watch every play and we know every context of every play. We're not just watching film. Every time he's under center in 3rd or 4th and short, it is a fake handoff, naked bootleg coming back the other way. And if it's not naked, there's a quick chip by the tight end and then he's trying to get out. It's impossible to stop. 4th quarter up 38-28. How about the throw to Terry on 4th and 2 versus the pressure? I thought he made, you know, excellent decisions all night long, throwing it and running it. You know, in the read option game, I was a bit critical of some of the decisions I thought he made against Tampa. I thought it left a lot of rushing yards on the field against Tampa. I thought he pulled it when he should have given it, and I thought he gave it when he should have pulled it at least 4 or 5 times last week. I didn't see many that he made a mistake on Saturday night. Keep in mind, and we should emphasize this, Detroit defensively up front, completely different than Tampa up front. Tampa is a difficult team up front to run against. They had been all year. Detroit was essentially, you know, a sieve, really. There were holes and cracks everywhere. But I thought the read option, even the read option that blended into the RPOs, you know, Brady referred to them as triple options. I personally view a triple option as when you've got a pitch man, like they ran against Tampa. You know, he faked the handoff and he came down the line with Eckler as a pitch guy. He didn't pitch it in that game. I always view that as more triple option. The blended read option RPO is a part of their offense too. And that's where he's got the option of handing it, not handing it, keeping it, and running it, or not handing it off, keeping it, and throwing it. And I thought a lot of the decisions he made were great. There were two misses that I counted. He missed Bates on an RPO on a first and goal in the first half, and he missed Terry up 38-28 when he threw behind him. But the next play versus the pressure, when they went forward on fourth and two, he found Terry. His passer rating for the game was 122.9. His QBR was 91.8. You've seen all the numbers out there. This guy is an absolute freak. He just completed the greatest. He completed the greatest rookie season in the history of the league, a quarterback. And I think by the time we get done with this season, we're going to look back on it and say this is the greatest rookie season by a player, period, at any position in the history of the league. It's possible that we will say that. Some are already saying it. Number two on the list, or number three on the things of that I liked list. Look, you can't deny that Detroit aided in their demise on Saturday night. You know, these games, especially this time of year, are often decided by turnover margin. They were minus five. They also had 12 men on the field on a fourth down. They also, for whatever reason, took Jahmyr Gibbs out of the game too much. Now, some of these turnovers, and let's go through them. The Armstrong forced fumble on the sack, great play. I mean, does Goff have to throw the ball forward after getting sacked? I don't know. He didn't protect it very well, but still, excellent play. That's a forced turnover in a game, by the way, that was 7-3 with them threatening to go up two scores early in the game. The Quan Martin pick six, huge. A terrible throw, obviously, by Goff, who was confused at times by some of the coverages. Give Washington some credit. Joe Witt Jr. some credit. They played more zone. They mixed it up. They confused him. But that one, and Brady pointed it out, he's like, what are you doing? Laporta's not only open on the check down, he probably turns it upfield and gets the first down. Luvu should have been penalized on the return. But I also will point out to those that would say, well, Luvu should have been penalized and that touchdown should have been overturned. Well, the interception wouldn't have been overturned. They still would have had possession of the ball, and they probably would have scored anyway, because that's what they did all night. They had six touchdowns, so they probably would have scored anyway. The Sanders still pick at the end of the first half, undercutting the throw to Jameson Williams. Outstanding play. What a night Sanders still had. It's late. It's not thrown where you're supposed to throw it, but still, Sanders still, what a player this dude has been all year long. I thought Ben Johnson got way too tricky too much of the night when he didn't have to, and it cost him on the Jameson Williams throw. He obviously, you know, you can't rely on a receiver to make as a passer the right decision. That's covered. It's covered well, and he threw it anyway, and Sanders still picked it off. Great job by Sanders still on that one, not to get fooled on the play, because the play was supposed to go to Jahmyr Gibbs. But you take that one. And then the chin interception, while not really significant to anything at the end of the game in terms of scoring opportunities, it was a fourth down desperation throw. He had to throw it. But still, that was the fifth, and good one by him. Plus five in the turnover category. You're not going to lose very often when you're plus five. Although Washington was minus four with five turnovers against Philadelphia on December 22nd and won. But you can do that when you have greatness at quarterback. The 12 men on the field penalty, man, Brady was all over that, screaming for them to call a timeout. That's just devastating. You know, one of the things, you have to say that the pressure that Washington put on Detroit, the game pressure, the score pressure that they put on Detroit, on Goff, that causes a lot of this stuff. You know, when you're down 38-28, well, that was 31-28. That's a three-point game. Washington's going for it on fourth and two. Would they have gotten stopped anyway? Probably not. But you can't, you know, give it to them, which they did. And I don't understand for the life of me why Jahmyr Gibbs didn't touch the ball more than he did. He ended up with 6 catches and 14 carries. It should have been 30 in this game. He was unstoppable. Wow, what a player he is. We started talking about Gibbs when we did one of our buy and sell things in the middle of the season. And I said to you, I said, do you think he might be like McCaffrey or Barkley-like? I mean, he looks like it when you watch him. He is one of the top 3 or 4 backs in the game, and they played David Montgomery in that game. That hurt them. There is no doubt that hurt them and helped us. Gibbs was not going to be stopped as a pass catcher or a runner by anybody on Saturday night, certainly not Washington. He averaged 10.5 yards per carry in the first half. All right, the rest of what I liked, and then we'll get to kind of the bad list. There wasn't much there, and a lot of other stuff that we will get to. And we'll give you guys a chance to weigh in just on everything. I mean, it's incredible. We're playing in the NFC title game at Philly. A lot of you really wanted Philly for, like, the reasons that Doc would want them. Well, we got to beat the best in division rivalry, the whole thing. I actually think they're a better matchup for us. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.